With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All righty, let's get to a little college football preview right now. And I need a little music. We have some music, some college football music. Hot take, Kiki? All righty, what do you got for me today? Give me the team, I'll give you my thoughts.
All right, let's start where we always got to start, with intrigue. How about Texas?
Here's why Texas to me is so intriguing. It's not only this year, but it's next year. Because the way that Quinn Ewers plays this year will ultimately determine if we see the start of the Arch Manning era next year. Because if Quinn Ewers plays up to his number one ranking status and he's able to be the quarterback that we thought Ohio State was getting a year ago, then that's going to be a guy. How do you take him off the field when you're bringing in someone who's on par and is on equal footing as a Quinn Ewers in terms of the rankings? So I ultimately believe this year for Texas, it's a big year for Sark, but it's also a big year in this QB battle that's already getting started now for Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning. Because if Quinn Ewers plays well this year, he will have a significant step up in the QB competition this time next year. However, if he falls flat on his face or he does not play well and he leaves that door open, then it even picks up the intensity even more for the Arch Manning Quinn Ewers QB battle that's going to be taking place a year from now. So that's kind of where I look at Texas. I'm like Sark, but really I'm thinking about next year. And you get an early test, second week of the season, where you have Alabama. Good luck.
How about the most arguably...
Now, real quickly.
Yes.
If they beat Alabama, how quickly are those memes just going to be getting fired up? We're back.
Probably before the game's even over. It's going to be quick. Quick, quick, quick. Texas has been hearing it for years. 15 years.
Yeah.
I'm making fun of my 10, I'll be honest. We're going to see it a lot.
They're not beating Alabama.
No shot. They could score, though. I will say their offense is very good.
You know me, I'm not usually a no-shot type of guy. I usually like to give everyone some sort of chance, and I usually like to believe in people and find something that I could believe tangibly in someone. But up against Alabama with Bryce Young and Will Anderson, yeah, good luck. No shot for Texas. No shot
no
for the Longhorns.
Shot.
Sorry, Brian Jones. Sorry, Derek Johnson. I know you'll probably never talk to me again, but come on. You're not beating Alabama.
A game I believe is going to kick off a month from tomorrow, too. So nice little segue into that.
I think it's a month out today. September 10th, I think that date is.
Is it? September, I forget if it was September 3rd or 4th. Is that Saturday? But if it's the 3rd, then it's a month from today.
Yeah, it's September 10th.
There it is. Let's.
Because they kick off their season September 3rd against Louisiana Monroe.
Right, yeah, it's week two.
Anytime, by the way, I see Louisiana Monroe, all I could think about is Ed Orgeron saying, Louisiana Monroe.
When was that? LSU, I guess?
Yeah, he was praising them 1 year or something like that.
Try not to have him overlook.
Yeah.
Have another Troy 2.0 situation.
Louisiana Monroe team's pretty good. Where else you, but the Louisiana Monroe. Can't overlook them. Call Tigers.
USC. Lot of headlines.
They
on USC.
Will either finish in first or second in the Pac-12 this year. I give the slight edge right now to the stability of Utah with Cam Rising and then also Kyle Whittingham. For USC, the expectations are going to be sky high and the attention's going to be so sky high, especially when you bring in the receiver from Pitt. You have Lincoln Riley. You have Caleb Williams. That should be an offensive juggernaut. The question is, what will your team be like on the defensive side of the ball? For everything to come together in year one, it's a big ask. I will lean on the side of Utah compared to USC for now, though. How about you?
I would agree. I'm picking Utah to make the playoff. So I'm in on the Utes. Yes.
Oh, jeez. Really?
I'm in on the Utes.
You're being one of those Pac-12 suckers? Whenever we think the Pac-12 is going to get a team in the playoff, they end up projectile vomiting on themselves. So you're a sucker for the Pac-12.
I'm getting
year.
Back on the horse. Didn't learn my lesson. I'm in.
So who's your team out? Because you have Alabama in. You got to have also Ohio State in.
Yep.
Georgia in.
I'm debating about Georgia, but right now my first team out is Clemson.
And you're going Utah, the Utes.
The Utes.
Instead of Clemson.
Utes. Saying Utes or Utes? Saying Utes, sir.
What?
You get that? From, now I'm blank on that. I'm blank on the movie.
Okay.
It's going to come to me here in a second. But while
that's
I think
not
of
your
it,
forte.
I know. It is not.
Movies aren't your forte. And I'm wearing these new headphones today not to make excuses. And I'm still adjusting to them. And there's like, it's weird. They're not as loud as my old headphones. So maybe I'll switch back to the old pair. Even when I crank up the volume. And all of a sudden I just hear Hickey go, you, okay, okay. All right.
My cousin Vinny. There it is. Oh, I knew it off the top of my head. Definitely.
All right. Continue.
How about Michigan? They did it last year. Can they do it again this year?
They'll be respectable. They'll be good. They just won't be great. I don't think they're winning the Big Ten this year. I don't think they're winning their division. Ohio State is by far and away the best team in the Big Ten, led by C.J. Stroud. So, Michigan, last year was your year. You'll be fine this year. It will be like free of what it was last year. Well, you'll probably lose to Ohio State. You'll have a big win or two throughout the season. There'll be a point where you think the team's going to be really damn good, but it's not going to result in back-to-back Big Ten championships or even Big Ten championship appearances.
How about those Utes? We just talked about them. Are they a playoff team in your mind?
They can be a playoff team. They would not be my pick. They would not be one of my top four teams right now. But the reason why they can be a top four team is the depth in college football this year is just not great. Like, I'm banking on Georgia and Alabama to be back in the college football playoff. What happens if you get to an SEC title game and one of those teams already has a loss and then they lose? Could you get a two-loss team in potentially? But it's not likely. Like, you lose that conference title game, you're not undefeated. Or if you have one loss, and even with one loss at that time, it's tough to get in. This could be is this a year where we see a three-loss team get in, Hickey? It kind of has that feel.
Two-loss?
Three-loss.
I don't think so. No, not three. Two, yes.
I don't know.
You're 100% right about the lack of depth. Like, there's really three teams.
Have we ever had a two-loss team get in, right? Have
no,
we ever?
Never had one. Penn State could have.
Oh,
they were
yeah.
sniffing around.
But they didn't deserve to get in that year.
There was one other team, I think, sniffing
Fine,
around.
I'll tell you this. There will be a two-loss team in the college football playoff this year.
Lock it up.
But there's going to be teams that have three losses that are going to be in the conversation. There will be teams this year that have three losses at the end of conference championship weekend that could be in the conversation still. Because other than Alabama and Ohio State, who are the teams that you guarantee are going to be great this year? Like, I think Georgia's going to get in. But is Clemson going to be this unbelievable team? There's some talk that Cade Klubnik's going to be the starting quarterback at the end of the year, not even DJ Uiagalelei. And you know what, Venables, you don't have Tony Elliott anymore. It's tough to latch on to who are going to be those great teams. That's why there's a window open for Utah, and they bring back their quarterback, Cam Rising, who had a really good year. And I think he's going to be even better this year, and I have a lot of respect for Kyle Whittingham. But once again, and maybe this falls into why this can be the Pac-12's year to get in, so whenever the Pac-12 has that team, and there's already a standard that's kind of like against the Pac-12, where if you get one loss, okay, you're out. Maybe this is the year where the Pac-12 could have a sloppy loss and still survive that, just because the depth's not there in college football.
Mario Cristobal going back home to Miami. What are your thoughts on the Hurricanes this year? Are they back?
They're not back, but they're taking the steps in the right direction. I'm a huge fan of Coach Cristobal, even when he was coaching at FIU. I like their quarterback, Taylor Van Dyke, as well. Cristobal, he just brings energy back to the program. And I know people are going to say, oh, you're a Manny Diaz hater, which you're not wrong. I don't like Manny Diaz. I'm very blunt about that. But do you think Miami fans were actually excited about Manny Diaz when he became the head football coach? I think it was clear that that guy was more so a defensive coordinator than a head football coach when you're looking at what you want out of your head football coach. And yes, he had the whole turnover chain and all that stuff. But I never looked at Manny Diaz as he was going to be the guy that was going to save and bring Miami football back. Cristobal, This is in his blood. He played for that program. You know, he's wanted this job for a long time. He's waited on this job for a long time. I don't think he's going to be a failure. I don't know if he's going to definitely bring the U back, but I don't think he's going to be an abject failure like people have in the past. Cristobal brings an appeal to Miami and is going to make kids want to stay home. And you know the boosters are probably going nuts already at Miami since they have their guy. They have their homegrown guy. I'm a believer in Mario Cristobal.
Are you a believer in Baylor?
Yes, I am. I love Dave Aranda. I think Dave Aranda has done a sensational job building off of what Matt Rhule and the resources that he gave him. This was a group last year that showed you a lot. Remember that crazy play towards the end of the Big 12 championship game as well. I think Baylor, you know, Baylor could be a team that's in the college football playoff this year. I think a lot of people, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, are overlooking the Big 12 this year because mentally we've already, I don't want to say declared that the Big 12 is dead because they're not, because they just added those, they're going to add those four teams in. But with the changes at Oklahoma, Baylor winning it last year, I think a lot of people are looking past the Big 12. We talk about that open fourth spot and maybe even a third spot too. It would not surprise me if Baylor's there, but I don't want to overlook, and I don't know if this is one of the teams you're going to give me, Oklahoma. Are you giving me Oklahoma?
Let's get into them.
Okay. Oklahoma, I think, can be a team with Dylan Gabriel and then also the unknown of Brent Venables, who's been waiting and waiting and waiting for such a long time to be a head coach and could have been a head coach years ago but just didn't want it. I think people are sleeping on Oklahoma entering this year, too. Oklahoma or Baylor, would you agree one of those two teams are going to be the Big 12 champion this year?
Yes. Yes. I think those are the two teams playing for the title, end of the year.
That'd be a great Big 12 championship game,
too. It would. Oh, it would.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Defense versus defense. How about that in the Big 12?
Yeah.
Take that.
It's not your grandfather's Big 12.
That's for sure. Get those bad defenses out of here. All right, three more teams here. Talking about intrigue. This had a lot of shuffling going on. How about Notre Dame?
I like that a lot of the staff has stayed. Even with, oh, you're talking about the offense side of the ball. You bring back Marcus Freeman, too, who's now your head coach, the former defensive coordinator. I like that, that some of those guys stayed and just didn't bolt with Brian Kelly. For Notre Dame, they're just one of those teams that I just don't give them the benefit of the doubt. Question marks at the quarterback position. They're a team to me that they win a lot of games, but I never look at them as a serious threat to the top dogs in college football, even though they have a seat at that top dog table a lot. They have a brutal start to their season up against Ohio State. I don't think they'll win that game. I think Notre Dame's like a 2-3 loss team. I can see them having 2 or 3 losses this year.
Certainly a tough one to start with at Ohio State.
Like, that's a loss.
That's brutal.
Especially when Ohio State lost the big game last year to Oregon.
Brutal. Welcome to Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman. Well, speaking of Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman's head coach because Brian Kelly got up and left and went to LSU. What are your thoughts on the Tigers this year?
I think it was Cole Kublik who joined us a few weeks ago and said outside of Alabama and Georgia, they could be the most talented team in the SEC. But then he said, I could see them winning anywhere from 4 to 9 games this season. It's an adjustment period. And I know that there's a ton of changes now in college football, but Ed Orgeron and Brian Kelly could not be more opposite. And I think that adjustment's going to reflect on the field. And you won't really see the impact of Brian Kelly at LSU until a year from now. So I'm out on LSU this season.
And finally, sticking in the SEC, how about A&M? Jimbo Fisher firing off some words in the offseason, buying in?
We all know that matchup in October is going to be the feature game of the year between Alabama and A&M. The quarterback's a concern for me. Is it Haynes King? Is it going to be Max Johnson? Will you eventually see Connor Wigman when there's a lot of big expectations on him? I don't think they'll start the year out with Connor. That quarterback's going to be their flaw. It's been their flaw recently. Their recruiting, we know, is impeccable now, and even Nick Saban thinks it's not even done necessarily, as Nick Saban would say, the right way, but that's the way college football is right now, and I don't have a problem with it. So tough luck there, Nick Saban. The quarterback's going to hold them back. They don't have Bryce Young. They don't have a Stetson Bennett. And I know Bennett gets disrespected, but he's won a national championship. It's going to be, they'll win a decent amount of games this year, But they're not going to be a team that's going to be in the SEC championship game. They're not going to be a team that I think we're going to realistically look at as a top four team in college football just because the quarterback for now is going to hold them back. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. We come on back. JP Finley's going to join us as we will preview the Commanders.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's preview the Commanders season right now. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. This guy does a great job covering the team for NBC Sports Washington. You could also hear him Monday through Friday in the middays on The Fan, 106.7 The Fan in our nation's capital. That's JP Finley. JP, appreciate the time. How you been?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. Thank you for having me. I was just telling your producer, there's some pretty bad weather here in the D.C. area, so if you hear anything crazy, don't be alarmed. We're all going to make it.
Well, you got it. How have the sewage pipes been so far at FedEx Field this year? I got to ask you.
So far, they're holding up. According to Dan Snyder, they made significant stadium upgrades. So we'll find out, I guess.
I saw a little leakage from one reporter at that open practice, I guess, that they had. So I don't know how great the pipes have been so far.
It's an old stadium, and they haven't put a lot of money into it. So you can imagine.
That's for sure. So I know nothing really surprises you anymore with the Commanders, but this timing was bizarre. The firing of the defensive line coach, Sam Mills III. Can you give us some insight on why that decision was made?
You know, I can give you insight, but I can't give you insight on the timing. Frankly, and I'm not trying to be rude to anyone, but performance dictated that this guy get fired after 2 years. The Commanders have invested a ton into their defensive line, both in draft picks and salary cap. And last year, they didn't get enough back. I think there's a lot of talent there. I don't think the talent performed, and there's certainly a hierarchy of people to blame, and Ron Rivera would be at the top of that, and then I think Jack Del Rio would be the next step down. But the most immediate person attached to that defensive line was defensive line coach Sam Mills, and everybody remembers last year as the year Chase Young got injured, but he also only had a sack and a half in 8 games before the injury, and they weren't very good against the run. Like, there was a lot that went wrong last year for the Commanders' defense, and a lot of that started on the defensive front. And I actually even, I don't want to say advocated, but perhaps predicted Mills getting fired way back in January, but then it never happened. So him getting fired, I completely can wrap my head around. It was just a simple performance-based thing. Why it happened on August 9th, why it happened 4 days before the preseason opener, why Ron felt things came to a head now and it had to go down, I don't know. Ron's a pretty tight-lipped dude, and all he said was we had a difference of philosophy, and I thought now was the time to make a change. I can tell you that a ton of sources have informed me that players responded better throughout the last 2 seasons to assistant D-line coach Jeff Scanina that got the job. I don't know. At best, Ron recognized that there's a lot of pressure on this team and that there were no more excuses for why people weren't performing, and decided to take away the excuse of, you know, perhaps the players and the position coach didn't get along, and maybe that puts the onus back on the pressures to perform. At worst, maybe there was an incident or some sort of kind of, you know, spark that hit a powder keg that Ron couldn't tolerate. I don't know.
When we get to Chase Young, I got a chance to spend a day with him back at the draft, and he was hoping to be able to play week 1, but really wouldn't shed much light on it. Has there been really any update on his status on when we could potentially see Chase Young coming on back after the ACL injury?
It's going to be a while. The only real update, it's been officially said that he won't play week 1. Rivera said that. So I'm not holding my breath. I don't think anything – I've been saying all along, I think for Commanders fans, their best bet is to hope for Halloween, and if he's back sooner than that, be pleasantly surprised, because it's a guy that he blew out his knee the first weekend of November last year. I think it was either November 8th or 9th. And I know that some people are rehabbing and recovering quicker than a year, but still – that's about a year-long injury. Chase also had a situation where they had to take a piece of his left knee, of his good knee, and put it into his right knee. So it was almost multiple surgeries. And I don't think a talent like that you want to push, and it doesn't sound like they are. And every official update you get is we have no timetable. And watching Chase at OTAs and minicamp and now at training camp, he doesn't look close to putting pads on and taking contact and really any sort of like lateral movement. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if we're at least a month away from even him being like ramped up, let alone getting on the active roster playing a game.
Let's get to the next down. JP Finley here with us talking about the Commanders. The rest of this defense, they're going to have to navigate a little bit without Chase Young, as you've been talking about. What do you look for with the rest of this Commanders defense this year?
Montez Sweat has looked great throughout camp, and he had a pretty good year last year before a broken jaw and then some personal stuff that really slowed his season down. His brother was killed. He got COVID. John Allen had a Pro Bowl year last year. He looked strong. I think Daron Payne going into a contract year could really impress on that defensive front. Kendall Fuller on the back end is a, you know, kind of a veteran corner that had a good camp. Cam Curl might be the most underrated member of this defense that isn't really a national name, but can absolutely play. I think their starting defense, I think, looks pretty good. They don't really have much / any depth if they sustain some injuries. There are definitely questions in the middle at linebacker, but by and large, I like what their defense has done so far, and they really have some continuity and then a couple of young players that should be maturing to kind of let them get back to what folks were expecting after the 2020 season.
Let's get to the next down. J.P. Finley, do you have any confidence in Carson Wentz this year?
I mean, any confidence? Yeah. Are we talking relative to Washington quarterbacks or relative to quarterbacks across the NFL? I think is kind of the question there. Last year, Washington won 7 games with Taylor Heineke as its quarterback and a significant COVID outbreak late in the year and that against a really tough schedule. This year, you know, ideally, crazy COVID outbreaks are over. Washington's schedule is much, much lighter. And I think Wentz physically and athletically is really, really gifted. He makes some bad plays here and there, but I personally think the narrative around him has kind of surpassed the reality. I mean, it is a guy that had almost a 4-to-1 TD to INT ratio last year. Like,
yeah, but he made some bad throws up against Tennessee, and then the last game of the season, I know the whole team crapped the bed, but that was inexcusable.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not arguing with you, but he made some bad throws. He made a fair amount of bad throws, but Washington didn't have really starting quarterback play. So they'll take a guy that ranks more or less middle of the pack in a lot of statistical categories. Last year, Indy with Carson Wentz went 9-8 and had a rather historic collapse in Week 18 to miss the playoffs. You move to the NFC, even if they go 9-8, which I think is entirely possible, they'll definitely make the playoffs in a bad NFC. So I think you could have the same results Carson produced last year, and just the finish line is much different where they are now. And they won't have a running back like John Taylor, but I think Washington has a lot more skill position weapons than Indy did beyond Taylor. I think Washington's defense should be pretty good. And, you know, as much as, I don't know, I'm weirdly like walking into this role as like a Carson Wentz apologist, but everybody wants to hammer him. And dude, the game against the Jags was awful. And he wasn't good against the Raiders, and the left-handed interceptions and all that stuff are awful. But the way we talk about him, you think we're talking about a guy that threw 15, 18 picks. He had 7 picks on the year.
Well, you know what it also is, JP? And I got to cover him a little bit in Philadelphia, and I kind of laughed at all this stuff when it was first coming out, but then you keep on hearing more and more of it. I wonder how he is in the locker room, because you hear mixed reports about the way he gets along with teammates and maybe some of the sensitivity to some of his relationships.
Dude, I've heard it, and as soon as I see it, I won't be scared to say so.
Yeah.
But let me add this. I think so far he's been a great teammate and he's been great in the locker room. But it's also August 10th.
Yeah, it's
and
early.
Nobody's thrown an interception or lost a game or had a bad fumble or gotten a hit more than they expected. So, like, if he was a bad teammate now, if I was already hearing that from other players or coaches, guys I have, like, off-the-record real relationships with, then I'd be concerned. I mean, hell, if I was hearing that now, I'd be really concerned. But so far, there's none of that. He's been a model citizen, and everybody gets along with him. And he's done – he sees a pretty big media market. He's gotten 1 billion requests, and he's done them all. And there's not really much, if any, kind of diva-ness or attitude. And there's been a ton of quarterback turnover here, so I think the appetite for – mediocrity / average / kind of good is so necessary that I really think there's a path. Philly is Philly, right? And it's a really tough media market that is used to good football. And then the Wentz saga up there was so bizarre, and he was playing so great. They won the Super Bowl. He came back. It didn't go well. They drafted Hurts. Like, that whole thing was so unique. Then you look at Indy, and they're used to elite quarterback play. I mean, they had Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Philip Rivers,
yeah.
Over the course of 18 years or whatever, right? And then Carson and the owner that got off on bad terms. Like, I don't know that you can look in all these situations in an envelope, but if you do, They all look fairly unique, whereas D.C., I mean, Kirk's a pretty good quarterback. They ran him out of town because the owner didn't like him. RG3, they loved, but
injuries.
His body broke down. Yeah, like, I mean, this place is just a disaster when it comes to quarterback play for three decades.
Yeah, the one thing, though, J.P. Finley.
Maybe Mike gets a chance. I don't know.
Like, I like this offense outside of the quarterback. Like, I've been a big fan of Antonio Gibson. How can't you love Terry McLaurin? If Samuel could stay healthy, he'll be good. Jahan Dotson looks like he could be a solid player. But when I look at the move, with all the quarterbacks that were out there, maybe it's hindsight is 2020. For a year, I'd rather have Jimmy G or Baker Mayfield, and it would have cost you a whole lot less than Wentz. Like, the return of Wentz, how we went for a swap of twos, and then two threes that one could turn into a two. It's still mind-boggling to me where his stock was that they had to give up that much to get him.
That is an incredibly valid point. At the time they went and got Carson, all the rest of these dudes that became available hadn't yet. And I truly think Washington expressed interest in Watson, and they expressed interest in Wilson, and were basically told thanks but no thanks on both guys. And I think Ron Rivera and crew got a little desperate and just made a move to get somebody. And that's why, in hindsight, they overpaid. The guy I thought all along they should try to get was Matt Ryan. And the thought was, oh, he'll never come available. And then a week later, he's available. So if you want to make the argument they overpaid or even got desperate to acquire Wentz, I think that's fair. I just think it's a little narrow-minded to suggest Wentz doesn't have anything to offer a franchise that won, that is so far away from franchise quarterback play for the last 6-7 years, maybe 30 years. You know, he may not have value for the 49ers or the Chiefs, but here, he might.
Let's get to the final down. Here's one that we've discussed in the offseason, and you said there's pressure on him. Now, there's so many other things that comes with covering this football team, and Ron Rivera is a well-respected guy, and I could never predict Dan Snyder. How hot of the seat, how warm is the seat for Ron Rivera this year?
Kind of cool, man. I mean, barring a nuclear meltdown of like a 3-14 season, I think Ron's fine. I think Dan's got so much going on. The organization has rebranded as incredibly diverse and inclusive, and they celebrate that they have a head coach of minority descent. I also don't know from a financial perspective what Ron's deal looks like, and I'm not sure Dan would be in a hurry to pay off the remaining years of that deal. And then lastly, I think Ron has a little bit of insulation. If things go poorly again, I think it will be because the defense again underperforms. And if the defense underperforms, Jack Del Rio's sitting there and it's his defense and it's been his defense and they were bad, you know, in 21 and then they're bad again in 22. And maybe there's a move to make there where Ron is just like, listen, I'm going to take over this defense. It's on me now. And that allows for more time.
Last thing I'll ask you, J.P. Finley, when you look at the NFC East, how far of a gap is it? And I know you said this team could go 9-8 in a weak NFC. I understand that. But how far of a gap is it between the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Commanders when you look at it?
I don't think it's nearly as far as a lot of people do. Last year, again, with a backup quarterback and a ton of injuries, they lost to Philly twice, but both games were really tight. They had the lead with like 6 minutes left in Philadelphia with Garrett Gilbert as their starting quarterback, who they had signed 2 days earlier. Dallas, they got shellacked when they went down there, but they had Dallas, you know, tight in the fourth quarter. I think Dallas lost some key components. I think the division is Philly's, assuming Jalen Hurts and that offense works. But I watched Washington 2 years ago in 2020 have a kind of subpar team, but play a ton of bad and backup quarterbacks and get on a hot streak late and win the division. And I look at what Philly did last year when they got hot and won a bunch of games and won and got into the playoffs. They beat a lot of really bad quarterbacks, man. So I'm not sure that I entirely buy Philly. I'm not saying that Washington's going to win it or predicting that at all, but I think those three teams are a lot closer than maybe some others do.
J.P. Finley, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Take care.
There you go. J.P. Finley joining us from The Fan in D.C., 106.7. The Fan does a great job in the middays with Brian Mitchell. We'll take a break. When we come on back, the future of the super team.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. So the Brooklyn Nets are a disaster. Or let me rephrase that. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant have been disasters in Brooklyn. I don't think, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with me on this one, Hickey, because we haven't talked about this all week. I don't think it's fair to say that the Brooklyn Nets messed this one up. Joe Tsai did nothing wrong. Sean Marks did nothing wrong. Now, I don't think Steve Nash should be the head coach of this basketball team, but the reason he is because the guy in Kevin Durant didn't want the other guy in Kenny Atkinson, who everyone says is a really solid, a really good coach. And then the only reason why Nash is there is because Durant said, all right, you're gone, Atkinson. I want to bring in my guy. Nash, even though he's a great player, we know two-time NBA MVP, but he was with Durant in Golden State. So this one, to me, it doesn't make sense, Ryan, where Durant and Kyrie, there's one day he's reportedly upset, then the next day he's not, and I saw his mother came out and basically defended him today and said, I don't know where this narrative comes from, that he hates the organization, but let's just, for now, focus this on Durant. I don't know what Kevin Durant wants. Do you have any idea what Kevin Durant wants? Because I don't think this is KD simply just hating Sean Marks and Steve Nash. I can't line that up where the math makes sense to me.
I think he wants to be done being the decision maker. I think that's what this is about.
Now, I'm not laughing at you. I'm pulling a mic. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at your information, okay? If that's the case, this guy is more lost than I thought before today, which I basically thought you could put his face on the milk carton and say he's MIA before today. Correct me if I'm right or wrong here. He was in OKC, didn't think he could win in OKC. Goes to Golden State, wasn't the decision maker in Golden State. Didn't feel like he was getting the credit that a two-time finals MVP and a two-time champion should be getting with the way that he was winning and the way that he was performing. So then he goes to Brooklyn, lied to all of us about how Brooklyn has this great culture and fed us all that BS and all that hogwash. And really, he's the decision maker. So now, after being annoyed that he wasn't getting the credit, then going to a place on his own and trying to get all the credit, he wants to go back to a spot where I'm not going to say he gets none of the credit because he'll be the best player on any roster that he goes to for the most part. This is going to be one of those moves where he now wants to be out of the spotlight a little. Like, I don't get it. It makes no sense even when you try to rationalize it.
And I would agree because it's now he's kind of going back on the reason why he left the Warriors in the first place. But, I mean, look at the
he's
teams
insufferable
he wants to go to and look at the players he specifically wants to play with. He doesn't want to go to the Celtics and have him, you know, be the team. He wants Marcus Smart there. He wants Jalen Brown. He wants to go to the Heat.
And you'll have Brad Stevens and Tidal be making the decisions.
Ime Udoka, you know, as a former head coach, you play with him. Yeah. He wants to go to Miami, but he wants Jimmy Butler there. He wants to go to Phoenix. He wants Devin Booker there.
But also in Miami, Pat Riley even told LeBron, you don't get to make all the decisions. Because that was the case. Pat Riley would have been coaching, and Eric Spoelstra wouldn't have had the career that he had.
Every team he has so far allegedly had as his preferred destination or okay trade destination has been a team that is either has an alpha dog already or has a great culture built where he can just go and play basketball like he did in Golden State.
If he goes to Boston, though, he becomes the alpha dog. You assume Jaylen Brown will go back in the trade, but he becomes the alpha dog compared to Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum doesn't have, I guess, the gravitas is the right word, that like a Steph Curry had. Tatum's been really good. You could argue he's a top 10 player in the sport. He's a first-team all-NBA player, but he doesn't have the championships. I know he just got to the NBA Finals, and he did not play well. If Durant's going there, it's Durant's the man. Even if Durant goes to Miami, that may be Jimmy Butler's team, but Durant's going there, he's going to become the man. He's going to be viewed as the missing link to winning a championship.
On the court, I would agree. But off the court, I think it's where he wants to give his responsibilities away. Like you said, Brad Stevens in Boston would be making the calls. And you could, you know, in Miami, obviously they have their culture set. So it's not going to be Kevin Durant's team. I think that's what he wants. Like, he'll be the guy on the court, yeah. I think he's sick of the decision-making that comes with being the face of a franchise.
Well, he can't have the best of both worlds. You are the star. You want to be the star. And then you don't want any of the responsibilities that come with the stars being a star, and you are the guy that wanted all this control. And when you had the control, even though a year ago you got praised left and right for beating them, for losing to Milwaukee Bucks, but this past year blew up right in your face because you didn't hold up your own end of the bargain in terms of your play on the court in that series up against the Boston Celtics. I don't buy that, and I don't know about you, I don't buy that he hates Steve Nash. I don't buy that he hates Sean Marks. He just wants out of the organization, and I keep on going back to this. I believe that Kevin Durant doesn't want to play with Kyrie Irving anymore, but doesn't have the guts to say it to Kyrie. That's what I truly believe. I don't think Kevin Durant can trust Kyrie Irving anymore. Kyrie opted in. He could still put on the front, we're friends, we talk, blah, blah, blah. But Kyrie, I know you don't like Sean Marks because of the whole vaccination issue last year. He wouldn't let you be a part-time player because of the mandate. And I don't know what the relationship is between Steve Nash and Kyrie Irving, but I really think this is being used as a front by Kevin Durant to try to expedite the process because he's done with Kyrie. What do you think about that?
If that's the case, like, you have the easy out, man.
But he doesn't have the guts
they
to do
didn't,
so.
They didn't. But that just goes back to the frustration of Kevin Durant. It's like it.
Great player. Decision. Great player. Weak leader.
100%.
No 100%. Backbone.
That's his biggest
no
weakness.
Backbone.
And it's killed him.
And I love watching the guy play basketball, but I become ill now anytime we talk about Kevin Durant because this bleep show that happened the last year, and the Nets really, I know we'll disagree on this because I've heard your take on this before. The Nets have to keep him because unless if you're getting this rich return, and still it's not going to be good enough where any of those players are going to end up being Kevin Durant. And yes, there's ultimately an expiration date, and even if you get rid of Nash and you get rid of Sean Marks, he'll end up feuding with the next guys. But the decision, all this guy had to do, and I know he was getting crushed for being in Golden State, should have just weathered the storm. Keep on winning, shut everybody up. Eventually you have 3, 4, 5 rings on your fingers. Guys can't take everything away from you. And I still say this. I believe that Golden State is his best landing spot still. That's the spot to me that it could be an attractive package for the Nets, and he would be able to go back to Golden State. And, yeah, just embrace the villain role now, which you failed to do the first time around. I'm sick of all the hula hoops that we have to jump through with Kevin Durant. And I don't think long-term this is going to affect the future of the super team. I don't, and we'll get into this conversation later because if you have two really great players and this league now is dynamic duos,
there will be another team that comes along and tries to go get another third grade player, like what we saw the Brooklyn Nets do. But Durant's decision-making was laughable. He's taking no accountability, and now he's trying to blame this on Sean Marks and Steve Nash. Like, KD, please. What a joke.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.